new business is coming to Yuma, and San Luis High School students are helping seniors. This is Arizona Edition. I'm Carmen Marquez. Kimberly Clark announced this week they will open a new facility in Yuma in 2027.
It's great that they're here. We get an opportunity to continue to be on the forefront of innovation.
Campesinos Sin Fronteras is working with students to help seniors who may be experiencing loneliness and isolation.
I've made a lot of connections, not only with youth, but also with the elderly in our community.
Those stories. Plus, we talk to runners for public lands about their mission. Coming up on Arizona Edition.
Funding for Arizona Edition comes from listeners just like you. Your continued support allows us to bring you insightful conversations about issues and events impacting our community. Thanks to you, we are able to highlight the people and voices of Yuma and La Paz counties and encourage civil conversations around water, agriculture, healthcare, education, and much more. Please continue to tune in to Arizona Edition, and thank you for helping us keep our community informed.
This is Arizona Edition. I'm Carmen Marquez. This week, Yuma City officials announced a new business opening in town. KAWC reporter Victor Calderon tells us about Kimberly Clark.
If you've purchased and used tissues, paper towels, diapers, or feminine products recently, you have probably used a Kimberly Clark product. The Texas-based company owns brands including Kleenex, Scott, Cottonelle, Huggies, and Kotex, among others. This week, officials with the City of Yuma, the Greater Yuma Economic Development Corporation, or GYEDC, and the Arizona Commerce Authority announced that Kimberly Clark is building a new 50,000-square-foot pilot facility in Yuma. Officials say it's a capital investment of more than $100 million. Officials say the project will create about 50 full-time jobs with competitive pay. The pilot facility is expected to open in 2027. Yuma Mayor Doug Nichols shared his thoughts on Kimberly Clark opening in Yuma this week on the Yuma Edition podcast on our sister station KOFA Border Radio.
It's great that they're here. We get an opportunity to continue to be on the forefront of innovation, but also bring in agriculture together. And I think it's just a great demonstration of what Yuma's capable of.
I asked Mayor Nichols how the partnership with Kimberly Clark came about.
A corporation like this, which is a multi-billion dollar corporation, works through the state. So the Arizona Commerce Authority is generally that agency, which is why we stay engaged at the state level. But also they reach out to the regional economic development organizations, which for us is GYDC. And we're constantly in conversation with GYDC. So when this opportunity came up, you put in your bid or your qualifications, and we get to the next level and we keep working. But we work together. We work with the state. We work with GYDC and ourselves to make sure that we're presenting the best case forward for the company. And we called it Project Ambition. If you heard that floating around, it's been several years we've been working on this, maybe three years. But Project Ambition was the project name. And you do that, you give a pseudonym because, like particularly this project, this is a brand new technology that they're bringing to market. They don't want to have their competitors try to get in front of them and you know, either steal it. It's like espionage, industrial espionage, that kind of thing. So this helps keep them, you know, being able to do all the research they need to do without alerting their competition, but it gives us a name that we can call it.
The mayor shared what kind of jobs Kimberly Clark will offer, and he also has an optimistic outlook for future investments from the company.
Yeah, they're more research-based because they're going to be this first phase. This is really just their first phase, is they're trying to make sure that they produced at the level they think they can produce it at, has the quality that it anticipates to have. So they'll have people working the mill, but they'll also have technical people testing and those kind of things. What's not in the press release, and I don't know if I'm allowed to say, but they're actually looking at, this is just phase one. If phase one proves out the way they expect it to be, there'll be much bigger phases and much larger investments into the future here in Yuma.
In a release statement, Sandra Watson, the president and chief executive officer of the Arizona Commerce Authority, said the Kimberly-Clark pilot facility will use a new alternative natural fiber. The Yuma-Kimberly-Clark facility will, quote, extract useful fibers from Hesper aloe, a low-water use and rapidly renewable plant native to Arizona and elsewhere in the southwest United States, which have the potential to be used in the company's future hygiene products, end quote. Officials said the new Kimberly-Clark Yuma pilot facility's focus on natural fibers fits perfectly with the company's global sustainability goals. For KAWC News, in Yuma, I'm Victor Calderon.
Together across generations, students from San Luis High School help seniors from the southern border fight loneliness and isolation. The 10-month project with the University of Arizona comes to an end, and we join Campesinos Sin Fronteras in their last session. Here's more.
For KAWC News, this is Carmen Marquez. Arizona's population is aging, and more seniors are facing life alone.
Bueno, me levanto muy a gusto. La temperatura que hay aquí es muy buena. La verdad, estoy a gusto aquí.
¿Se toma su cafecito en la mañana?
Sí, cafecito.
According to data from the Arizona Department of Health Services, nearly one out of five Arizonans was 65 or older.
Tengo cuántas. Cuatro.
¿Y lo vienen a ver?
Sí.
Sí,
sí.
No, mijo, no te vienen a ver.
Bueno, me viene a ver una nomás.
In 2023, the U.S. Surgeon General issued a report titled Our Epidemic of Loneliness and Isolation. It was 82 pages on why social connection matters and how the nation could and should work to improve it. The University of Arizona created TAG, Together Across Generations, a program implementing, translating, and disseminating evidence-based strategies to reduce loneliness across Arizona elders. The project partnered with Yuma, Santa Cruz, and Cochise counties, including Campesinos Sin Fronteras. The Castillo family in San Luis, Arizona, is a senior couple who is part of the program.
Para mí ha sido algo muy grande y de mucha bendición, pues, convivir con los jóvenes.
For the last 10 months, students from San Luis High School have gathered on a monthly or biweekly basis to share recipes, photos, meals, and life lessons with border seniors.
One of the last meetings we're having, and I'm honestly really sad in a way, because it was really nice to be able to connect with all these people, with the elderly, with the community, with my fellow peers.
A little sad because I think through TAG I've made a lot of connections, not only with youth, but also with the elderly in our community. We were able to share stories and share, we just did so many activities together and I really enjoyed their company.
Cleaning day was the second to last meeting. Students held a raffle. The winning abuelito received the home cleaning. The Castillos were selected.
I can't remember my grandma, and it can be a little difficult at this age to clean out like some stuff maybe you cannot reach, or it can be harder like to keep it clean. And I think it's very important so we can help them out. Like it may be like a little easier for them.
Rosa Guerra, a coordinator with Campesinos Sin Fronteras, mopped the floors and explained the reasoning behind the cleaning.
Una recomendadita, sacarles basuritas de por donde ellos a lo mejor no pueden. Y tratar de trajimos unos detalles para poder a poner aquí en la casa. Entonces ojalá les guste y ojalá queden contentos, ¿verdad?
Chloe Ruiz, program coordinator for Campesinos Sin Fronteras, mentioned that a possible next cohort of seniors is in the books.
This is not the last one. We will still continue to meet. We do want to work with seniors who feel isolated, so even if we don't have funds, we will be making sure that we still help people in our community. So we might continue with a new group, but this is the first group that we started with, so this is coming to an end.
Jair Gutierrez is an upcoming matador at AWC, who will be pursuing a nursing major. Him, just like the other students, assures working with elders has been a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
that it's very important to speak to the people who came before you, because they have a lot of experiences and a lot of stories that you can learn from.
For KAWC, this is Carmen Marquez.
Funding for Arizona Edition comes from listeners just like you. Your continued support allows us to bring you insightful conversations about issues and events impacting our community. Thanks to you, we are able to highlight the people and voices of Yuma and La Paz counties and encourage civil conversations around water, agriculture, healthcare, education, and much more. Please continue to tune in to Arizona Edition, and thank you for helping us keep our community informed.
Runners for Public Lands is a nonprofit that mobilizes runners to protect and restore the trails and public spaces they cherish. Through advocacy and community events, the organization empowers outdoor enthusiasts to give back to the landscapes that make their adventures possible. Public Radio Runner tells us why this mission is closely aligned with KAWC's public service mission.
Public radio and public lands have more in common than meets the eye. Both are designed to benefit everyone. And while many people recreate on public lands, runners have a special connection with the trails. Brian Baker recalls a morning run in the Lake Tahoe area.
We ran up to the top of a mountain called Granite Chief, and it was hard to not stop every 5 seconds to just admire everything and really take it all in. If you don't get out there and get on the trail and experience it, it's hard to convey just how special it is to go through a place like that and to be, you know, just to be moving on your feet, you know, running through these areas.
Granite Chief is a steep climb that traverses unique ecological zones from the valley floor to the peak at just over 9,000 feet. Trail running celebrates this, as well as nature's reward. Bryant continues.
So mostly when we were running, we started out in like some mixed conifer forest, lots of Jeffrey pine, smells really wonderful, a lot of fir. We started getting up into like some white fir, red fir. It smells like Christmas trees, you know, smells really wonderful, has kind of a citrusy scent. Then we get up into the alpine area and it was wildflower galore. I mean, it was like a painting. Everywhere you looked, there were woolly mule's ears blooming, these big old like yellow sunflowers. There was paintbrush, there were lupins. There were so many different colors.
Bryant's the director of advocacy and education at the nonprofit Runners for Public Lands, and he explains.
We are trying to empower runners to be able to help protect these public lands and expand access to these public lands and to nature for everyone.
Public lands are the very thing that enable historic races like the Western States Endurance Run, which starts in Olympic Village, to the Cocodona 250 in Arizona. And like public radio, public lands face shifting federal policies and funding, making organized advocacy for runners even more crucial. Kat Baker, executive director at RPL, notes.
When you look at outdoor recreation advocacy, there are nonprofits that represent almost every different human-powered recreation group. So for example, the Access Fund represents climbers, as does the American Alpine Club. The IIMBA represents Mountain Bikers. Surf Rider Foundation is a wonderful example of surf riders. And there has not been a nonprofit that organized runners for outdoor rec advocacy. And so that's what we are doing. We're filling that gap and very proud to join alongside those other recreation nonprofits.
And like their peer organizations, RPL recently joined as the 10th member of the Outdoor Alliance, a coalition of advocacy groups working to protect our public lands and ensure sustainable access. Giving back is a familiar concept for both public radio listeners and trail runners. whether it's pledging support or volunteering at a Mile 77 aid station. Claire Gallagher, pro runner and PhD candidate, points out,
"We don't have trail running if we aren't getting interested in the land managers who run these races. 10 years ago, you couldn't do a race without having to volunteer 8 hours out at an aid station or doing trail work."
RPL has various ways runners can get involved, from trail work to writing your congresspeople. More information is available at runnersforpubliclands.org.
Up next, we have a report from Education Solutions reporter Cisco Stargazer. Arizona Western College, Sunset Health, and OnVita Health are teaming up with the support of a new grant to expand healthcare training.
Arizona Western College, Sunset Health, and OnVita Health gathered at the AWC Yuma campus Wednesday morning to collect a $150,000 check. This check, a grant from Arizona Complete Health, will be split evenly among the organizations. The goal? Combat workforce shortages by training qualified healthcare professionals. And on Vita Health, that'll involve rapid upskilling and credentialing opportunities. And at Sunset Community Hospital, the funds will support clinical preceptor stipends and tuition assistance. Dr. Saika Sanji, Senior Director of Clinical Operations and Education at Sunset, said they've never had outside support for that program, making this its first milestone.
What we do with this preceptor program is to provide robust training to our future workforce, which are going to be these nurse practitioners, these physician assistants that we're giving clinical rotations to, so that we train them, the providers, who are going to be future providers and give the high-quality healthcare to our community. So actually, it's a win-win.
At AWC, President Ritika Dhawan said the grant will fund scholarships as the college expands its healthcare training programs.
We are looking for multiple new programs for using this funding. It's a sonography. We are looking at surgical tech, partnering with OnVita, partnering with Sunset. We are looking also expanding our program, whether it's a nursing, whether it's a medical assistant, whether it's a CNA program. How can we provide opportunities for our students, whether it's an internship, whether it's a preceptor opportunities, whether it's externship opportunities. So expanding the existing program, plus looking into new program and 100% funding going to scholarship the students.
From KAWC News, I'm Cisco Stargazer. And as a quick note, AWC is our license holder.
Up next, a conversation from Yuma Edition. As students head back to school, we sat down with Dr. Antonia Gore of OnVita's Health Behavioral Health Team and its psychiatry residency program to discuss children's mental health and how parents can help ease the transition into a new school year.
So some nervousness and some anxiety is completely normal for them to have going back to school. I mean, just thinking about it, there's new teachers, there's routines, there's academic expectations. So there's sort of this conglomerate or this big chunk of information that they're going to have to learn and new changes they're going to have to make, right? So with those things, some anxiety can be expected in that, and that's okay. So it's really about the parents just kind of monitoring that. Some common signs that parents should be looking out for, there can be physical symptoms, right? So when I say physical symptoms, they can have some headaches. They can have some stomach aches. The association with going to school or even going back to school after the weekend can cause them to sort of start to have these what we call somatic symptoms. So one thing that I want the parents to look out for is the timeline. So say they started school or they're about to start school. So Friday, okay, you finished your first week of school. And everything is great. You're looking forward to the weekend. It's Friday. You're enjoying yourself. Saturday. Oh, it's awesome. It's still the weekend. I'm hanging out with my friends. I'm spending time with my family, right? And then boom, Sunday hits. And guess what? Now, oh, my stomach is churning. You know, you're rolling over and over. My stomach is feeling bad. I'm having headaches. Mom, you know, what do I do? But guess what? It's because the next day is Monday. They're worried about going back to school.
Dr. Antonia Gore also shared how the signs of mental health concerns can differ between young children and teenagers, and what parents should watch for at each stage.
The teenagers, sometimes they kind of want to hide it in the sense that they tend to be more quiet and then they'll be more self-isolating, right? So you're going to notice, oh, he or she are, they're in their room all the time. They don't want to come down for dinner. So there are different signs that you might see where they're kind of isolating themselves. And then with the younger kids, they'll be a little bit more anxious. They'll be a little bit more clingy. Oh, mom, where are you going? You know, stuff like that. I think overall, whether it's teenagers or the younger kids, you want to just realize sometimes they're not going to be able to communicate how they're feeling. So it's, again, just kind of looking out. Are they changing their behavior?
Dr. Antonia Gore says that more often than not, children won't want to talk about what they're going through. She explains how parents can create opportunities for them to open up and share what they're feeling.
They're not going to want to talk about it. I mean, you're maybe worried about what mom and dad might think, so you kind of keep it to yourself. So I think one thing that parent can do is keeping that open line of communication, listening to them, really listening, using open-ended language. So instead of just asking questions that where the answers are going to be yes or no, kind of leave it so that the child can go ahead and ask them more of those questions. It doesn't have to be a one conversation either. It doesn't have to be, oh, we're going to talk about this tonight. No, it can be an ongoing conversation. We can continue to keep the dialogue open. So I'd say open-ended questions. I'd say listening and validating your children's feelings can really help.
Arizona Edition is a production of KWC Colorado River Public Media. Questions or comments are welcome. Send them to az@kawc.org. You can also connect with KWC on Facebook and Instagram. Our theme music was used with permission and composed by Stephen Hennig and performed by members of the Yuma Jazz Company. More information at yumajazz.com. I'm Alexandra Rangel. This is KWC's Arizona Edition. Thanks for listening.